cliffcentral.com. Good morning, America. America's seeing red this morning. No, they're not angry. Or maybe they are angry, but it's looking like very much Donald has woken up. Well, we've woken up to Donald kind of out in front. And election correspondent Gareth Cliff is with us right now, Evelly.
Yes, he is. I mean, this is tighter than anything you've ever been in your life.
It's tighter if you grabbed her by the pussy.
Wow, Gareth, this is quite something. I'm seeing CNN in a fat flap here because they don't want Trump. I mean, the Clinton News Network is just hating the fact they're seeing red.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is just after 11 o'clock at night in New York, New York. I'm exactly 1 mile from Clinton headquarters and 1 mile from Donald Trump's headquarters. I'm exactly halfway between the two of them in terms of my location. And I can tell you something. America is exactly halfway between the locations of these two rivals for the presidency. And it is everything that no one expected.
Well, I see just for a start, Hillary lost her home state. That's just not a good sign off the bat.
Well, you know, technically her home state, since she was senator for New York, is now New York. And their headquarters are both based here. Hillary's on the Hudson River. She's canceled her fireworks display, and she put out a very interesting tweet a little earlier on, which had me convinced that she's already given up in her mind. It's quite indescribable what's going on here. I'm actually watching it with a bunch of friends in the Upper West Side. And let me tell you, people are all shocked. And the most shocked of all are the pundits, the people who said they knew what would happen in this election, the people who were sure they had a handle on how people were going to vote. And I can tell you something, they had no idea. Here's what Hillary tweeted, and this is just 2.5 hours ago. She said, "This team has so much to be proud of. Whatever happens tonight, thank you for everything." Which is a very strange thing to tweet, and especially so early on. It sounds like the kind of thing you should say once you've won, unless you're admitting that it's over.
Yeah, it's kind of going from like smug to like, maybe I'm just really crooked and everyone's seen it.
Well, while watching the news last night, I learned that what happens is that Trump and Hillary will have written two speeches, right? So a victory speech and then a speech for when they lose.
Yeah, I reckon Donald's written one.
And
he's written one.
And I was just thinking to myself, as the hours play out, do their teams then kind of look at the situation and then go back and say, okay, quickly go and update the victory speech, or quickly go and work on the loss speech, depending on, you know, how the results are coming in? It must be so stressful.
Well, you're jumping ahead to the end, but at the moment, the excitement is around a couple of places. First of all, Ohio has gone to Donald Trump. Ohio is one of those swing states. Virginia went to Hillary. That's one of those swing states. Florida, the state that causes all the trouble, the one that was too close to call when Gore went against Bush and narrowly lost the election and won the popular vote. You remember that?
Yeah.
And now it's all down to Michigan. People are saying if Trump wins Michigan, he's at 48.1%. Hillary is at 46.8%, and only about half the votes counted there. But if Trump maintains his lead in Michigan, he will win the election. Now, this is not something anyone foresaw. The smartest, brightest people in politics should all quit their jobs tomorrow, because no one predicted this. It's absolutely unreal, and I can't even begin to describe it. In the room of people I was watching in just now, and there were about 8 or 9 of us, everyone is sitting there with their mouths on the floor. Some people have got their heads in their hands. They're so depressed. Some of them want to throw up. It's just extraordinary. This election, the atmosphere is palpable. There's more excitement than I've ever seen around any election anywhere in the world. And there isn't a pair of eyes on earth that aren't looking at what's going on right now.
Gareth, with the American elections, it does become a little bit more detailed than that, doesn't it? And I'm always, you know, a little bit more confused when they start talking about the Senate and the House and the this and the that.
Yeah, the electoral votes.
Yeah, it's so confusing.
Listen,
if you're
confused,
yeah,
Mabali, if you're confused, then we're all in trouble. So what do you want to know?
No, I mean, so for example, the Senate votes, I mean, how do those impact the overall result?
Well, what happens is that essentially there are There's the legislature, which is the same as our parliament, and then there's the executive, which is the same as our president and his cabinet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in America, the executive, you vote for a president, which we don't do in our country, and you vote for your Congress and your Senate. Now, each state has a certain number of congressmen. Those come from districts. And then each of the states has two senators. So there are 50 states. So that means there are 100 senators. And there are probably around 600 and something congressmen and women. At the moment, the Congress is a red Congress. In other words, it is Republican. The majority of the Congress is Republican in number. The Senate is also Republican, and they're looking to hold on to both the Senate and the House, and it looks likely to even be the presidency. Now, this would be historic because it would mean this is the first time in many, many years that the Republicans have controlled all three, the presidency, the House, and the Senate. And if that's the case, then this will enable this president to make sweeping changes to legislation. I'm talking building walls. I'm talking waging wars. I'm talking all kinds of really, really interesting things.
Making it the Gold House, not the White House.
Shipping a whole bunch of Muslims out of America and blocking any more from coming in.
Free visas for Eastern European women.
Look, let's not jump again. You know, the point is Florida, Michigan, North Carolina, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania. All of these are still too early to call, including Wisconsin. Mm. So people are waiting to find out what's going to happen in all of those states. But they're pretty much saying North Carolina's gone to Trump now. They're saying that Florida's gone, that Virginia went to Hillary. Colorado's just gone to Hillary. Remember, the West Coast hasn't been counted yet. But they factored that in, and most of the states on the West Coast will go blue. They'll be Hillary states. But even if they are, as projected, Hillary states, the things they can't be sure of are Michigan, Ohio, Florida, Virginia, North Carolina. And so far, Trump has surprised everybody. At the moment, the margin is very, very small, including those which they can take as a given. Hillary's at 190 and Trump is at 186 and they need 270 to win. So it's going to be so, so close.
Well, you know, you're right when you say it's still too early to call. I mean, the first thing that I did when I woke up this morning was put on the TV. And from the time that, you know, I showered and came to work, Hillary has caught up with those numbers that you've just released.
She's been playing well.
It really is still an early race.
Well, this is just the most exciting election I've ever seen in my life. I'm jumping up and down. I mean, it's late at night. I was up early this morning. I'll tell you all about that later on. But they're projecting the whole thing on the Empire State Building in an incredible light show. And they're just saying that Trump has won the key state of North Carolina by 51.2% over Hillary's 46.1%, which means an unassailable lead for Trump. Even if that 7% uncounted vote comes in, he's got North Carolina. This is another one that nobody could have called. People were unsure. It's a swing state. This is absolutely unpredictable. Everything that's happening here has got CNN jumping up and down. You mentioned CNN earlier, Ben. John King from CNN was saying earlier that he's been predicting X, Y, and Z. A lot of people were saying, you know, this is how it's going to unfold. Donald Trump said, don't trust the media. They don't know what they're doing. None of these pundits know what they're talking about. And even John King said, I'm afraid I've got to admit, it looks like Donald Trump was right.
Yeah, I was hearing the same thing. They're saying, what does this say for polling systems? What does this say for these electoral websites? They're all just poo-pooing them. But
those are the first jobs that must go when Donald Trump decides to affect the job market. Now, CNN has been called the Clinton News Network by Donald Trump.
Yes.
And even they at the moment are backpedaling desperately. Meanwhile, I'm just going to switch across to Fox News.
Yes, Trump's network.
They must be feeling great. I'm sure that they're just up in cloud nine right now.
Is the entire studio just in a red decor to start with?
Well, I'll tell you, they have the most incredible studios. I actually sent you a picture of it on WhatsApp earlier. They got everybody there. They've got Megyn Kelly, who's looking gorgeous. You know I'm in love with her.
Yes, I mean, and you're a little bit obsessed, if we have to be honest.
Yeah, she's, oh my God, she's looking good. She's sitting there and she's busy running the whole thing along with all the other Fox News contributors. I see Karl Rove sitting there and it says Fox projects Trump to win in Florida, North Carolina, and Ohio. We could pretty much count North Carolina and Ohio in as well as Florida. So those are all, that's old news. But here's what they're saying. Electoral votes in the bag right now. 222 to Trump, 202 to Hillary.
Hmm. But, mm-hmm. but now how, I mean, this is where I get confused. So then how is it that CNN and Fox News have these discrepancies in their numbers? I mean, I know that each network, you know, like Fox is obviously a Republican network and CNN, you know, has been called the Clinton network. But when you're speaking about actual numbers, why the discrepancies?
Well, what's happening is that they all have different sources at the polls. So that they're either getting it before or after each other.
Okay.
So you'll have some networks running ahead with a certain result. If you recall, there were people, idiots on Fox News in the last election that were saying President Romney before he was elected. And that very quickly didn't happen. So you don't want to jump the gun too much.
Yeah.
But it is something to see. And there are really a lot of very embarrassed people in the media business right now. A lot of people who we were relying on for information. And it's turned out they were just crappy at giving us the information.
Gareth, apparently
I think a lot of people are voting against Hillary rather than for Donald because she's crooked in their view. They don't like her. People in America hate Hillary Clinton. And you know, our local news in South Africa, I've got to say these people don't know what they're talking about. Every news network, every single publication in South Africa, even the good ones that I trust, were all saying, oh, it's a dead cert for Hillary. And clearly they were all wrong, and clearly they were also shilling for her because none of them seemed to have had an opinion in the other direction. They're all saying, oh, he's a racist, he's a bigot. And you know what? If you call someone a racist and bigot enough times, eventually they'll go, screw you, and vote against you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the way that the pundits got it wrong is kind of a, you know, a throwback to the whole Brexit debacle. You know, I mean, pretty much everybody was certain that the UK would vote to stay within the European Union. And look what happened there. Everybody, you know, basically got slapped across the face with with the reality of it all.
Mabs, it's something else. Apparently, the betting averages at the moment, they did slide a couple of minutes ago to 80% chance of Trump winning, according to certain betting sites, which is a very, very strong margin.
Gareth, my dad actually sent me something now. Would it not be better, like these people, these experts who are polling things, is it not better to just look at social media and get a bigger snapshot from there? I mean, what are these experts going on? Are they going on like old grannies in supermarkets going, oh, I'm going to vote Hillary?
Hmm.
It'd be interesting to see what their main source is.
You know, I spoke to a lot of people in New York yesterday, and I've also heard a lot of other people who I know in New York who've spoken to, you know, taxi drivers, shopkeepers, construction workers. The people who were voting Hillary were saying, I'm voting Hillary. They were proud of it. The people who were going to vote Trump were embarrassed to say they were going to vote Trump because they knew they would be called all kinds of names. So they just shut up, and when no one was looking, they went into the booth and they ticked Trump. Because when you characterize someone as being, you know, racist, bigoted, you only take their misogynistic comments, and you kind of forget that if a majority of people behave like a minority and vote in a block, and in this case it's sort of white males mostly, that they can do as much damage as when a minority votes in a block. And nobody's ever expected this from white males. And I think that's the part of this that has caught everyone by surprise, is that finally white males are not trying to argue with each other, but they're deciding in America that they're sick of being called the bad guys every time. And they're voting in a block.
Mm.
They've decided we're standing up for ourselves, which is quite something. This has never happened before. Trump at the moment on the national popular vote is at 49.0%. Hillary on the national popular vote counted so far 46.6%. Remember, that doesn't include most of California, Nevada, Idaho, Oregon, Washington State, And which one am I leaving out?
Well, generally, Wisconsin. Generally, maybe the cleverer people in America are on the far left side of it, on the west side.
There are clever people on the west and there are clever people on the east. You know, the middle gets characterized as being Hicksville, and a lot of New Yorkers are very embarrassed by what's going on in this election. They are not happy that Trump is going to be president. I got to say, maybe this is a wake-up call also to America that those people in the middle, those flyover states that no one has any respect for, that they've decided to flex their muscle. And, you know, they do. If they put all their electoral votes together, they've got a lot. Of course, California's got the most electoral votes. California's the most important state in America in terms of voting because it gives, I think, 108 electoral college votes to whoever wins it. But there are all kinds of other states involved. So coming at it from the blue side, do you want me to break it down for you?
Yeah.
Well, guys, before we get to that, we spoke about jumping the gun, and maybe that's not the best thing to do, but it looks like Donald's already jumping the gun. I've got a telephone call that he just received from someone else that's kind of similar to him. Just take a listen to this before you get the further analysis.
Trump call on the Trump hotline. Hello.
Hello, Donald. It's me, Kim.
How did you get a hold of my details?
I crack your password. It's Trump password, right?
How do you ever work that out?
You and me have lot in common. I like naming everything after myself, too. We both have fabulous and not at all ridiculous hair.
Well, that's true.
I also hate Southern Neighbor. I build big fence to keep foreign scum out.
Kim, I gotta tell you, I like you.
And we both think nuclear weapons are a good idea.
Well, if you got them, you might as well use them.
So, when you president, we should get together.
Sure, it's gonna be great. You can also meet my daughter. Like I said on that talk show, she's so hot. If I wasn't her father, I'd date her myself.
Wow, you sick. You're too crazy for me. Good luck, USA.
Okay, so maybe he doesn't have an ally in Korea then.
No, that's very funny. Well, I walked past Trump Tower today, and they actually had huge trucks parked all the way around the building.
Michael was saying, has this got to do with some sort of terror threat?
Well, they're just protecting the building because there are a lot of people who are going to be very unhappy or happy if he wins, and they need to protect the building because it'll become a source of, you know, some kind of attention in New York.
Yeah.
That's also where Trump headquarters are tonight. And Hillary is at a place called the Javits Center, which is just off the Hudson River near the Lincoln Tunnel. And that's probably also very high security. I walked past on 57th Street today. I walked past Hillary's cavalcade as it went through to the Javits Center. I don't know how these two have maintained their energy. You know, they're both kind of older in their late 60s, early 70s, and depending on whether it's Hillary or Donald, that's how old they are.
Mm-hmm.
They were campaigning until the early hours of this morning, American time, East Coast time, and after about 2-3 hours of sleep, both candidates were on the road, heading home for 3 hours of sleep, and then out to vote themselves. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and you know, it's not over yet because, I mean, when are we likely to get the final result, Gareth? Do you think it will be another, 12 to 24 hours still before the counting is wrapped up entirely?
Look, wow. That's anyone's guess right now because obviously none of the West Coast votes have come in yet.
Mm.
So everybody's waiting to see. I would say it could be until 1-2 in the morning at least before we have a solid idea of what's going on. But the latest results, as I said to you, 222 electoral votes to Donald, 202 electoral votes to Hillary. And that just shows you what a really awful candidate Hillary was for the Democrats to lose to this guy, who everybody has said is the least experienced man for the presidency ever. He's not even a politician. He's never been one. It's just crazy. Someone says, whatever happens, the Democrats have lost. Half the nation voted for white supremacy, sexual assault, and more. The Klan is happy. We should be sad. And then somebody said, and that's just the Hillary supporters.
Yeah,
so
look,
it's all down.
The tweets have been a combination of just sheer comical brilliance to just, you know, some of the most vile you know, bigoted things that you will ever hear people say. Jeez. I mean, people were tweeting about how while they were voting, there were, you know, different crowds that were chanting all sorts of horrible things, from "we hate Muslims" to, you know, "Mexicans this" and "black people that." It's insane.
Well, I met a lot of people today who told me some interesting things about black voters. Mm. A lot of black voters voted for Trump, believe it or not, because they view themselves as being Americans and Mexicans as being other immigrants that they want to keep out. You know, it's a question of kind of identity politics for us as opposed to identity politics for you. And if we're black and we live in America, we don't want Hispanic people coming into America from Mexico and taking our jobs. And a lot of black voters voted for Trump on that basis, which is kind of crazy to a lot of people. But there are certainly a huge number of black voters on both sides. The Democrats have traditionally always been the home of black voters. But in this election, there are a lot of dissatisfied people, blue-collar white workers in the middle class, who the Democrats have always owned, have switched over to Trump. And according to some pundits, he is the new center. Evangelical Christians, religious Catholics, middle-class white voters, these are the sort of people who are voting for Trump, and the elites are voting for Hillary. That's certainly the narrative that a lot of people on the right have put forward. You know, I told you about Stevie Wonder yesterday saying that letting Trump take over the presidency is kind of like putting him at the steering wheel of a car. Mm. But I see in the latest news, Stevie Wonder sitting in the crowd at Hillary's headquarters looking very unhappy. In fact, pictures emerging from the Democratic headquarters right now here at the Lincoln Tunnel at the Javits Center in New York look like very miserable people.
Gareth, those dump trucks that you saw, they were put in place by the Secret Service because
that's right.
They're expecting, they're not expecting, but they might anticipate that there's an explosive device to take down Trump Towers. So those dump trucks are filled with sand to lessen the impact if it so happens.
Well, no, they're there to prevent anyone from driving into the building.
From what I read this morning, it was for explosives. That's why they filled them with sand to lessen the impact.
I'll send you pictures of them.
And then I also read...
What's sand going to help? Lex, if a huge building like that comes down, what's a little bit of sand going to do?
I read that Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton each are costing the taxpayers in America $40,000 a day for Secret Service. Straight after this elections, if Donald Trump loses, within a week he will lose all his Secret Service protection because it costs too much. Hillary will remain with some because she's a previous first lady, so she'll still have Secret Service on her.
Yeah, but I mean, if he wins, then obviously all of that's wrong.
Yeah, he'll keep his Secret Service and double it. Yeah.
Well, take a look. I just sent you those pictures and you can put them up you guys can retweet them as well. The trucks in front of Trump's building.
Gareth, I'm going to get to a couple of messages because they're coming in thick and fast here. Who knew that everyone just loves this election so much? They really are on all the platforms. Okay, Sean, relax. I'm reading them right now. Gareth, I don't know how you deal with this rowdy audience of ours. Hey, they're shouting on the messages. Caitlin says that Ben Shapiro just tweeted President Trump and he never gets shit wrong ever. Anarchist Roman says it's a glorious day. Absolutely glorious day. And from Eric, Canada's population is about to explode the way I just jizzed during morning sex. Thanks, Eric.
Listen,
yeah, that's
man,
quite right.
All those Americans who threatened to leave when Trump, Trump becomes, they're not going anywhere. They're not going to go anywhere. Where are they going to go?
Well,
no.
They should. They must stand up to it.
We'll wake up. We'll wake up in America by the time you guys have finished the show, and it's probably around the time Tebow Touch comes on. America will wake up on the 9th of November, and it'll still be America.
Yeah, exactly. This isn't like Harry Potter where someone just is like a new spell and then everything's different. Right. CS says, Mubs' dream is coming true. Trump is winning.
Damn it, I did say right at the beginning, didn't I, that I would love to see Trump win just to see how badly he could mess things up.
I think we all thought it'd be a bit of a joke, but as but as Mike says here, fuck, Donald is actually leading.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, who would have guessed?
Who would have guessed indeed?
Yeah,
but, Ben Carson is saying, I believe that the people of this nation recognize that we're making a huge decision about the direction of our country. Well, that's true whether you like Ben Carson or you don't. And by the way, there's an example of a black man who's definitely siding with Trump, just to prove my earlier point.
Yeah, Gareth, just getting back to a couple more messages. If I read 20% of them, I guess I'm doing a good job. Avi says, to assume that 50% of the population in America is racist and bigoted and xenophobic is in itself racist, bigoted, and xenophobic.
Yeah, right.
No.
Well, listen, I got to point out again, social media have been completely wrong about all of this. Social media have called everything wrong every time. Do you remember how social media got the South African elections wrong, got the Brexit wrong? They're now getting this American election wrong too. If you think social media is the way to monitor and to get a feel for what's going on in society, you are an idiot.
Yeah.
It is absolutely not, because the number of people who make the most noise on social media but represent a tiny minority and are completely overcompensated in terms of the total figures gives you a skewed idea of what's actually going on.
Spot on, Gareth. I mean, social media is comprised of, you know, us. We're just a bunch of loud talking heads who enjoy the sound of our voice, and, you know, we enjoy as many retweets as we can accumulate.
Speak for yourself, my buddy. I'm quite informed, I'll have you know. Quinton said on Twitter that Donald is grabbing America by the pussy.
Yeah.
Anushka says that she's already Anushka Trump on Twitter. If you can't beat them, join them. And apparently Maxine says that Lady Gaga was in a Hitler outfit. Is this true?
No, she wasn't. It wasn't a Hitler outfit. I mean, it had some people confused.
See, Maxine, you're proving my buddy's point here. We're just a bunch of talking heads.
No, it had some people questioning whether or not that was a suspicious outfit, but, you know, it wasn't. It wasn't.
I just thought it was a very cheap trick by Hillary, and Donald called her out on it. Hillary had Lady Gaga and all these other stars, and Donald's like, hey, I don't need the stars.
Well, I was thinking this morning that...
Because he is one, duh.
I was thinking this morning... Poor Beyonce and Jay-Z. I mean, those White House visits are probably going to come to an end if Trump, you know, wins.
Oh, sure. Believe it. And by the way, last night in Washington Square here in New York, Madonna gave an impromptu concert to support Hillary. She trundled out her best moves, and she did a little announced concert in Washington Square just to support Hillary. That clearly didn't help very much either. So a lot of people are saying here, South Carolina, for example, completely in Trump's pocket. Delaware is going for Clinton. Illinois is for Clinton, 56% to 38.8%. Maryland is 60% to Hillary. Massachusetts, 60% to Hillary. These are the blue states. This is not a surprise. Mississippi, 39% Hillary, 59% Donald. That's a southern state. We knew that would go red. Missouri, at the moment, 60.3% to Donald Trump. And New Jersey is a Hillary state, 53.1%. Then there are plenty of others that are starting to come in now. A lot of people talking about, the breakdown at 232. Remember, it was 222 just now, electoral votes. Donald Trump now has 232 electoral votes. Hillary still at 209.
And Gareth, if I'm correct, the first person to get to, is it 270? That person wins the election?
That's correct.
That's, 270 is the magic number.
All right, well, some of those votes continue to be tallied up. Gareth, we're going to take a little break here because we've got to ready ourselves for the news and the sport. Michael says you must go look what he tweeted because he tweeted out the whole dump truck thing. I think he wants to fight you in this, Gareth.
All right, Flex, I saw them with my own eyes, and I can promise you they won't make a single difference if the building comes down. All it'll do is bury the trucks and the sand under building rubble.
All right,
can't
guys,
understand how that would help.
Guys, can have another cup of coffee. I'll catch you back in a sec.
You know what's going on.
You know, I was just thinking this morning when I woke up and I saw all this red, I was thinking, how's Anthea going to do today? Because, you know, like she was saying that Brexit really kind of, you know, ruined her lunch. And now this, if this goes the way of the Donald, it's kind of like another Brexit for her financially.
More importantly, how will the global markets be doing today, waking up to all this red? Yeah. I mean, I can't wait to find out how all of this is affecting that stuff.
Well, I think Anthea is probably on, I mean, I'd love to know what her heart rate is right now.
Yeah.
She's probably thinking, if I could just go surfing.
Anthea was up this morning really early South African time, because I saw her tweeting at like, what was it? It was 10, it could even have been 9 p.m. American time, which was like 3 hours ago. And she was already saying, oh my God, the markets, the markets.
Well, Mavs, we'll get to her in about sort of 10, 15 minutes, Gareth. I'm sure you want to be part of that conversation too. But what have we got news-wise, Mavs?
Yeah, look, Gareth, thank you so much for, you know, keeping us updated with those latest figures coming out of the American election. But in other election-related news, the 43rd president of the United States, that would be George W. Bush, apparently did not vote for either Trump or Hillary Clinton. A spokesperson for the Bush family by the name of Freddie Ford informed USA Today that Bush voted none of the above for president and went Republican for the rest of the ballot. Now, Bush's vote became a talking point after Rush Limbaugh said on his talk show that the former president had voted for Hillary Clinton. And so I suppose his team then decided, no. Bush can't be seen to have had, you know, to having voted for either one of them. So they decided to release a statement that actually George W. Bush has zero confidence in either Trump or Hillary Clinton. And so wow. Him and his wife actually did not vote for a president. How's that?
That's coming from him.
That's coming from, you know, from his spokesperson, from the spokesperson of the Bush family. So that's quite interesting, I thought. And then one person was killed and at least two others are critically injured after a gunman with a military-style rifle opened fire in a residential area about 40 kilometers outside of Los Angeles, forcing authorities to secure the neighborhood and shut it down. According to the LA Times, authorities said that they do not believe that the shooting was related to Election Day, but the shooting did happen at a polling station or near a polling station. It began at around 2 p.m., officers arrived on the scene. They found multiple victims lying around and the suspect with the rifle. The shooter immediately opened fire and released at least 20 shots at police officers. He then retreated to a home in the area. Officers eventually managed to get him surrounded, and they reported hours later after a long standoff that the gunman had in fact been found dead. But authorities wanting to assure everyone that this shooting had, you know, as far as they're concerned, had nothing to do with Election Day just 40 kilometers outside of Los Angeles in, is it North or South Carolina? North Carolina.
Okay, I just got to clear up the story that Flax sent me, that he was so sure he understood. Trump, Flax, in your own version, here's what it says, right? Trump Tower, the place Donald Trump calls home and work, is being protected by lines of dump trucks all filled with sand, and the end game is to prevent terrorist attacks. Now, as I said, and if you'd read this, you would have understood it, Department of Sanitation vehicles showed up early Tuesday, forming a barrier to minimize an attack with explosive devices, which means if you drove into them, it would stop you. That's why they're there, not to collect the rubble and to do something about a falling building. All that would happen is those trucks and all their contents would be buried under building rubble.
Yeah.
You know, it would make no sense. So Flax, your interpretation here is completely off. A Department of Sanitation spokesperson tells us they've also got trucks set up at the Peninsula Hotel, Hilton Hotel, and Javits Center for the same purpose. There's a heavy police presence outside the tower and at the Hilton in New York City, where Donald's set to celebrate if he wins.
Well, yep, Gareth, Barry on WeChat says that maybe the dump trucks are there, so when Donald wins, they can be dispatched and start building the wall instantly.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's they've right. got to get straight
that's why
into
they're full
it.
Of sand. They've got to build this wall quick. It's his first thing.
Flex, are you willing to, you know, to be in the blue here, as Hillary is, and concede defeat for the time being with your whole dump truck scenario?
Whoa, sorry, hang on. Yes.
I think it's funny that you guys thought I meant that the dump trucks are there to collect the rubble if the building does get exploded and stuff falls on the ground. I meant that it would absorb impacts.
Oh, what kind of, if you drove into them, right?
Yeah, if you drove into them, even if there was an explosive device next to it, the sand in the truck would absorb the impact before it hit the building.
Yeah. But then we agreed. Why did you argue with me?
No, I think you thought I meant, and I think it's really funny that if the building went down, there'd already be removal trucks in place.
All right, okay. Can I bring it back home for a second?
Please,
okay.
Yeah.
So the ANC, right?
Who are they again?
They are the. Sorry, Ben.
Tell you something? I haven't thought about them the whole of this week, and I've had the best week so far. Now you're gonna bring up the ANC while I'm sitting in New York. I almost don't want to come back home.
Oh, I'm sorry, Gareth. And I know that a lot of us are probably being distracted, you know, by the American election, but stuff is still happening here at home. So the African National Congress has agreed with the establishment of the Judicial Commission of Inquiry on state capture. But according to Secretary General Gwede Mantashe, they want President Jacob Zuma to appoint the judge to preside over that commission and not Chief Justice Mogoeng Mogoeng, as was indicated by the former public protector Thuli Madonsela. Mantashe added that the ANC NWC felt that it was not Madonsela's place to determine how the commission should be constituted. The NWC said calls for Zuma to step down in the aftermath of the release of the state capture report are premature and unfounded. And Mantashe said that opposition parties who are calling for a motion of no confidence in the president is a reflection of their growing arrogance. Love it when the ANC accuse other people of being arrogant. So he said that it's a reflection of their arrogance rather than the reality. And he reminded the ANC not to play to the gallery on this issue.
You know, I do not understand that party at all. They are, it's almost like, it's like the media here in America. They're all wrong. Listen to this. Electoral votes coming in now. According to Fox News, Trump at 254 electoral votes. That's just a handful shy of the 270 needed to become president. And Clinton still at 209. Look, that is Fox. They're ahead of the game in respect of guessing for Donald Trump. But CNN is saying that it's much, much lower and the two are much, much closer together. So I'll keep you updated on that. But, you know, to just go back for a moment to South African politics, I see Musi Maimane tweeting, and it's just amazing. You know, people take positions more on their own feelings and their own preferences than on fact here. And you know, whoever it is that wins, that person will have to lead America and the rest of us will have to deal with it. So here's Musi Maimane. This is what he says. The U.S. election 2016 is indeed worrying. The nightmare could continue. We could be without her. It's like he's been married to Hillary in his head. It's a very strange thing to say.
Her.
Musi Maimane.
Well,
yeah,
we
haven't been with her yet.
I get it. The Clinton campaign's hashtag is I'm with her. So all the people who've been voting for Hillary Clinton have been using the hashtag, yeah. I'm with her.
Yeah, sorry, I've been with Harambe from the start, so that doesn't mean
exactly
nothing.
The point.
Yeah.
Now, listen to this. A lot of people are tweeting things like, we forget how powerful hate is. I see Justin Spratt on Twitter saying that. Well, if there's any hatred in this election, it's that people really hate Hillary. It's not that people are motivated by Donald Trump's hate. They hate Hillary for being deceitful and for a whole lot of other things. And Hillary is a very unlikable candidate, you know. If she were running against anyone else, she would have lost this by a much, much bigger margin. The fact that she's losing at the moment in the polls to someone as awful as Donald Trump doesn't mean that Donald Trump is spreading hate. It means that Hillary is really despised by the people of America, which should tell you a whole lot more about her than about him.
Sure, yeah. But, you know, again, you know, all we can do is wait and observe from the sidelines with popcorn in hand. I mean, I almost feel a little bit better because, you know, it's not my country, so I can, you know, I can laugh and joke about things. But, you know, within the next several hours, things will definitely start to become really, really real. And then it will either be President Trump or Madam President Clinton.
Yeah,
correct.
I still think Hillary's going to squeak it in the end because of the whole, you know, West Coast. But hey.
Yeah, we wait and see.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll bring you more headlines at 7:30.
All right, into the sport, and India have lost the toss against England, and they seem to be losing the early exchanges here. Now, England have done pretty well in India in the recent years. In test matches of late, though, they did lose to Bangladesh last time out, whereas India have been spinning the crap out of everyone that goes into their country. But right now, 35-0, Haseeb Hamed is making his debut for England. He is all of 19, and he'll be opening the batting, and he's doing bloody well so far. He has been dropped early in the slips. But 19 years old, hey, Mubs, and these guys just get... Wow, England's got so much talent coming through the system here. But it's just about where they put it in, because they've been harboring guys like Gary Berlant for so long, who's been absolutely crap. He was just in there mostly for the Southern African quota, but they've got rid of him. So, yeah, they've got a really good balanced lineup. They've basically got 11 batsmen and they've got 6 bowlers. This English team on paper looks fantastic, but we know between the ears it's still England. So, yeah, they got us a good start here, 35-0 after 10 overs. Of course, there's more test match cricket coming this weekend. Saturday will be the second test between the Proteas and Australia, and they'll be at Hobart. We want to talk about a hick state. Hobart is probably the one to do it. I bet they're all going, yay, Trump. In tennis news, this weekend will be the big ATP final series. Now, what this is that the top 8 tennis players in the world, of course, Andy is the top one. He's the best. Now, this is going to be in London, so basically a home crowd for him. He's been drawn in the John McEnroe group, so basically he'll have to play Stan Wawrinka, Kei Nishikori, and Marin Cilic. And then in the Ivan Lendl group, which is the other one, we've got Novak Djokovic, Milos Raonic, Gael Monfils, and Dominic Thiem. So that'll be from this weekend onwards. So it's the best of the best. It's going to be like blood sport of tennis. And right now, Andy Murray is Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Sure. Okay, then.
Yeah, I know. I mean, look at us just beaming about Andy. The T20 League in South Africa kicks off. And, of course, this is a T20 League with no sponsor. So it's been innovatively called the T20 Challenge. So if you like local cricket, I'm not going to go through the names here because, I don't know, Hollywood Bets Dolphins? You keen on a team like that?
Well, I mean...
What the hell is that?
Exactly. So, you know, like... People are so desperate for sponsorship nowadays, they punt the name on anything. So whenever you hear on like Supersport or on the news, whatever, they'll be like, and the BizHype photocopiers and admin clerk Highfelt Lions, they'll be taking on the Hollywood Bets bet now and get 50% off your first bet, Dolphins. It's going to get to that stage, trust me. There's a radio-branded logo in there. There will be a catchphrase there soon. So if you like T20 cricket, from Friday onwards, we've got double headers and all kinds of fun things to look forward to there. Rugby news, well, we get closer and closer to the big Springboks versus England clash, right? And, well, you know there's nothing going for the Springboks right now when every single story is the Boks have not lost to England in 10 years. Well... I hate to break it to you, but that means absolutely dick this week, because even though the English have not beaten SA since 2006, November 2006, I know this because I hear it every 5 seconds, it's a vastly different scenario here right now where history means absolutely nothing. The Bok team, well, they've had some nice good news injury-wise after losing every single person who's ever played open side flank for the Springboks. Everyone else is kind of looking good to go, but there's some big decisions to be made. Who's going to play wing? You know, are they going to go for sentiment and pick Brian Abana, or are they going to try some fresh blood? Interesting to see what they're going to go with here. England, on the other hand, well, they don't have their first choice locks. Otherwise, they've got a pretty good team. And this is, of course, a team that's gone 9 out of 9 recently. So they went to Australia, they beat them 3-0, and they were unbeaten during the Six Nations, where they just, yeah, they were just head and shoulders by everybody. So that game is going to be on Saturday, as it will be Italy versus New Zealand. New Zealand are going through a completely 0-0 streak right now, of course, because they lost their last match. No one saw that coming, but there they are. So they're going to absolutely hammer the Italians. This is going to be one of the biggest backlashes in sport, and that's going to be played in front of a big crowd in Rome, and that's going to be a hammering. And then Scotland hosts Australia. So those are your big international fixtures for the weekend, rugby-wise. And yeah, that's pretty much it for now. I'll keep you updated with the sport as we go along. And the India series. Gareth, we're going to cut through to Anthea, but we're going to take a song first because Michael's going to try and merge the two of you, and we'll just sort it out from there.
Alrighty.
Okay. You happy?
Cool. All right. I'm happy.
That's very good.
Let's do it.
As long as Gareth's happy, as long as there's more red on the board. And of course, we'll have more news at 7:30 with Mubs and more sport as it develops. You know, it's kind of funny what Gareth was saying about all these so-called experts. You see them on TV now. They're all trying to justify their calls. I've never seen... Okay, we got CNN on in the background here in the studio. Mm. So there's people just talking really, really animatedly. It's like, you can just see they're lying. They're going, oh, well, you know, this is so unexpected, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, did you see this coming?
It's a tough position to be in, because now they've got to try and save face, right? Because at the end of the day, their credibility is in question here.
Yeah. So if anyone on TV right now and the opening and their title is Chief Political Analyst, someone is like, whoa, tough day ahead. I tell you, also got a tough day ahead. I think it's Anthea. I don't mean this like doom and gloom, but... Well, she did say yesterday she doesn't want to wake up to see a whole bunch of reds. So, Michael, have we got Anthea on? Is Gareth going to be joining him? Joining her? Thought I'd soften the mood with a bit of a different song for her. Anthea, good morning. How are you holding up?
Good morning, Finn. It's not great. I feel like it's going to be a bit of an obituary to the stock market today.
Sorry, are you already seeing some red numbers and not looking so good?
It's literally red across my screen when I look at the election map or when I look at the stock market. It's both. Ooh. I mean, so yesterday was a decent day. You know, our market closed almost 1% higher. Most of the indices were in the green. Banks and retailers continued their rally. Rand held fairly strong at 13.34 to the dollar. Even the U.S. market closed 2% higher yesterday. But it really is all change this morning. So I don't often quote the index futures, but it does trade after hours, and it's a fairly good indication of where the market is going to open. And in the U.S. at the moment, the index futures, the Dow Jones is down 3.5%. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 are both down 4%. So we were saying we didn't want another Brexit scenario, but it's not. It's actually worse, because when Brexit happened, the Dow Jones futures were down 500 points. This morning, they're down 750 points. In fact, this is even more than this is even a bigger fall than when 9/11 happened.
Oh, dear. Oh, my goodness. So that really puts things into perspective.
Yeah, and Asia's done a complete about turn. Hong Kong's about 3% lower. I mean, and I think what people are reading into this is that a Trump win will be anti-global trade, really. So think about Apple, think about Microsoft, you know, all the big trading companies, think about Samsung. There are just so many. China's down about 1.5%, but Japan's down almost 5% this morning.
Okay.
And worse still, I'm afraid, is that the Rand is plummeting. No, it's down 4.5%.
I thought this was going to help us. If anything, we could get a stronger Rand. No.
Anthea, yeah. How's the Mexican currency doing?
Mm. Okay, so the Mexican peso, which has been the bellwether for the U.S. elections, is down 12%.
So basically everyone loses if Donald wins, is what you're trying to say.
No, they are safe haven assets, Ben. So precious metals, for example, gold is up about 3.5%. Silver and platinum also a bit higher, but nickel, copper, oil are all falling. You know what's funny is that Bitcoin is up 2.5%.
Well, Gareth got one of those.
There you go. Gareth's 2.5% richer in that asset than he was yesterday.
Don't you love the fact that Donald Trump once tweeted, "Hey, Canada, you're getting a wall too, you snow Mexicans."
No way!
Yes. Don't you love that?
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So I think the shares that will rally or possibly rally are maybe the pharma shares and the U.S. banks. So the pharma shares are about 25% down for the year. And I think Hillary was more likely to do something about excessive pricing in the pharma industry, and she was keen to extend bank regulation and possibly add a tax for high-frequency trading in the banking sector. So maybe we'll see that. Maybe we'll see U.S. pharma and U.S. bank shares rally. But it really does look like everything else is really just crashing and burning this morning. Maybe we'll get, I don't know, a little bit of cushion from this weaker rand. But I guess my immediate go-to in this kind of situation is that I tend to think markets overreact. And I want to stay away from the markets for the first kind of half an hour just to see where it settles down before I decide what to do. And maybe there'll be some decent bargains to be picked up and maybe they won't. It's one of those, I'm afraid, very hard to guess what happens.
Well, Anthea, just in general kind of topics, you're getting more messages this week than ever. There's still the big question if Tumisha Greta is single or married is still popping up.
Sorry, we don't know. If Tumisha Greta is single.
This is still a big deal. Kala says, Anthea, could a Trump win mean increased investments outside the USA? Could this possibly be good news for SA?
I'm afraid because the US is such a big trading partner with everybody, it's likely to be on balance worse for us.
Okay, so yeah. Okay, Carla, so yeah, basically we don't win ever in this. We're just always that kid at the end of the porridge line. And Anthea, Andy is asking, what should one do if one has, sounds posh, huh? What should one do if one has funds, US dollars, in Hong Kong? Sit tight or transfer US dollars to Hong Kong or other currency?
So I would wait and see where the market settles before I make any decision.
Yeah, you don't want to be too cavalier with your money here.
And you never know what those funds are in. You know, I think if they're in shares, let me think about this. Well, the farmers and the bank shares, you'll probably see a bit of a rally on that. Although yields are also falling, so maybe that won't be that good for the banks.
Sure.
Kind of, yeah, it depends on which assets in the US you're holding.
So, Anthea, what do you do on a day like this? Do you get like a Team Morel drink session later just to kind of steady the ship? I mean, this is going to, sounds like a tough day ahead for you.
So I'm supposed to be having breakfast at the JSE this morning.
It's in flames. You can't.
They serve me wine with my scrambled eggs.
Yes, no, you should insist on that.
My team have been awake for the last, 3 hours. This WhatsApp group is going crazy. Everyone's deciding what to do with the portfolios. But again, we really want to see where the market opens. There's no point in kind of reacting when there's a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah,
it's not going to be good, I'll tell you that much.
So, Anthea, what are we saying here? Let's assume that Donald Trump does win at the end of it all. I mean, at some point, you know, the markets will recover from that, right? Or could it possibly deteriorate even further?
I'm inclined to think that the markets will overreact to the downside and then slowly recover. But it depends on what happens going forward. So I think it's the uncertainty, and it really is a nation divided, which is going to be the problem, because, you know, you can't pass any policy. You don't know what you don't know what the US government are going to do. And as for the US Fed hiking interest rates in December, which was almost a dead certainty, now, I'm not so sure. I can't imagine that they would. You know, it's all great having Obama being able to create, 181,000 jobs on average this year. He created 229,000 jobs on average last year. Can Donald Trump do the same? I'm not sure. And so it's a wait and see game for us now.
Well, Anthea, sorry, I got to butt in here. I think Donald's going to create loads of jobs. All those bankrupt golf estates that he's got, he's just going to flood them with people to get them back on track.
And he's going to build a wall. He needs people
exactly.
For that.
Yeah.
So you want to be buying caterpillar
shares? Lot of labor in wall building.
Okay, I'm glad we're laughing about this.
what other option is there, Anthea? If you don't laugh, you will surely kill yourself.
Indeed.
All right, Anthea, should we let you get back to your tough day?
Thanks, guys. We'll speak tomorrow morning.
All right, tomorrow, hopefully things can
if the world
rally.
Is still here, huh?
If the world is still here. All right, Gareth, so we're going to get more into the breakdown and just a couple more updates. There's other questions. Cool. I see on the CNN electoral map, it says Donald Trump 232 Hillary 209. So is Donald? Is Donald nearing? Karen.
Yeah, I have slightly more up to date results here. At the moment, electoral votes being called 254 to Trump, 209 to Clinton. So you know, depending on whether or not you're willing to take that gamble with me, that's the most up to date figures I've got. If you call those states which are mostly at the stage accountable, so we got 254 to 209. It's a very, very big margin for Donald Trump, and totally the opposite of what was predicted by every single person in the media in America and in the world. It's fascinating.
That is fascinating. Okay, so we're going to come back, and Gareth's going to give the second part of his electoral correspondent debut. Gareth, you're doing very well by the next election, we're going to have you out on the floor somewhere else. You really are excelling. I mean, your talents are wasted here in the studio.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go into a bit of a double play because it's Wednesday. I'm getting close to the weekend. And catch you back in a bit. CliffCentral.com.